L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Tell us what you know. Coming up in about 45 minutes, $25 gift card to Party Foul is on the line, but you'll have to participate. Like I said, that's in about 45 minutes. Just tell us what you know. That's all we're asking. By the way, you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable Alexa Skill or Google Home, and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. It'll be the Titans and the Broncos. Monday Night Football, we're going to learn a little bit more about their opponent here very, very shortly.
Yeah, we're in a little bit of a stall. Brandon Cristal is going to join us. He's trying to get out of a dead zone. He had just left his house, so he's going to be calling us back in just a second to talk about that. But I'm curious to get his thoughts on this year's Broncos team, but most notably how somebody we got to know quite well is doing and preparing for this game, and that being Jarrell Casey. His number, Jadeveon Clowney got his number, so I'm sure that adds a little fuel to the fire, but I'm looking forward to that matchup.
Speaking of 99, I saw that Clowney jerseys were already online being sold.
Oh, yeah, they turned around fast.
So they were
it's almost like they knew.
I think they were ready. Yeah. They were ready for him. There were signs for months. Remember that the mysterious picture of Clowney with the Titans uniform on in the video game?
Yeah, that was Madden.
Yeah. Yep. So I think you know, looking back, there was that mutual interest throughout. It was just a matter of waiting it out. And you got to give the Titans credit for being patient and getting what they wanted all along.
Going back to the Clowney, to how much is he going to play the first few weeks? Darren, I remember when we were having the Tom Brady conversation, and you brought up that, well, you know, how much talk has happened behind the scenes because they're, you know, Vrabel and Tom are friends, you know, are they going over some things? Is there, how much of that do you think was happening? Because I think a lot of it was happening with Clowney. So, you know, you've asked the question of what's changed. Well, he didn't like camp, so that seems very clear. How much has there been Vrabel saying, "Hey, JD, you know what's up? You know how we do this, how we did this in Houston. You know, we got these type." Maybe not going over the playbook, but some of that of maybe brush up on some of this stuff because we do that here. I think he's going to be more ready than people might think.
That is not in question. That to me is not what it's about. It's just simply about the guy's had no work on the field at all. And right. He has a history of what? Injuries. I mean, it's not about learning the playbook. That to me is not
in
question.
I agree.
It's all about game shape and conditioning, man. We're not talking about the playbook.
And the worst thing you could do is throw him out there too much too early and increase the chances that he's on the shelf. I would try to think long-term and build slowly. That would be me.
Let's go out to Denver. Brandon Cristal is on the line with us, Broncos insider, KOA radio out there. Brandon, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. I am driving through, I guess it's not an ice storm yet. It's just kind of freezing rain. It's going to be snow here in the next hour or so, 2 hours. So by the time I leave Broncos practice, less snow on the ground. It was 93 degrees yesterday.
Okay.
So,
did they move their camp to Alaska?
Sorry, yeah.
Well, they're still in Denver?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But look, we've had all these wildfires all across Colorado, just like they have in California, too. So the freezing rain and even the snow, which nobody wants snow in September typically, we'll take it right now just to put all those wildfires out.
Wow. So are they predicting snow for Monday Night Football in 6 days?
No, I think
can you imagine opening day?
I think it's going to be in the low 80s here coming up. But 2 years ago when they played the Rams October 12-ish, give or take, whatever that Sunday was, that it snowed a bunch on Saturday. There was still snow all around the field, not on the field, and it was the coldest game of the year. It was October 12th. None of the December games or even November games were as cold as that day in October. So we get weird weather around here is the bottom line, but usually a lot of sunshine. It's going to be great weather next week for Monday Night Football.
Is there any talk that the Broncos are thinking about this game, just forfeiting this game, considering the Titans signed Clowney, that it's they don't even want to attempt the game now? Any talk of that at all?
Well, it's funny, is despite that, and maybe right tackle being the biggest question mark on the entire roster in terms of the player who's there now, Elijah Wilkinson, who started a bunch last year but just wasn't very consistent, and then DeMar Dotson backing him up at 34 years old with 100-and-something starts, there's a reason the Bucs didn't resign a starting right tackle. So I don't think they're gonna forfeit. I do think the Clowney addition will be good when he's good, and the fact he played his best football under Vrabel is a good thing. But I talked to a reporter who covered the Texans for a long time and told me one week he was at Clowney's locker on Monday, and Clowney says, "Hey, who are we playing this week?" And he says, "Oh, the Bills." He goes, "Oh, y'all won't be talking to me Sunday then," basically indicating that he wasn't expecting to be player of the game or to sack whoever the quarterback was at the time. I don't know if it was Tyrod Taylor even before that. So I think it's stories like that that probably kept the market flatter for Clowney. But at the end of the day, he's when you look at the talent, it's almost unmatched when he's into it, right? The problem is making sure he's there consistent every week for 17 games. I guess my question for you guys, not that it's my interview, Do Titans fans care that the money Jarrell Casey was supposed to get and the jersey number now both went to Clowney?
Yeah. Well, I think what they care about, it's a fair question, is if you trade away Casey and you don't have Clowney, then people are going to be saying, what were you exactly saving that money for?
Right.
Was it for your kicker? You know, I mean, sure. I think this is the whole it's whenever you do something like this, as by the way, we're just glad this story is over. Like, we're just tired of talking about it, just like Mike Vrabel, who would basically drop his head every Zoom call when this question was asked because he was tired of it. But you couldn't get away from it. It's not going to go away until something happens. But I think the whole point of all of this is getting rid of Casey. It was like, it's got to be to land a guy like Clowney. I mean, it's just got to be. So to me, the bigger thing would have been if he ends up in New Orleans or Seattle or somewhere else, you probably would have had some pretty loud voices from the fan base going, "You got rid of Casey for what again?" And I think that's what would have happened.
Especially because he just seems like such a great guy. I know how big he was in the community. You know, I used to MC Wesley Woodyard's charity events, so he was the first person that I reached out to when the trade went down, and obviously teammates like other teammates, but it sounded like these guys really were great.
We may be going in another bad area for Brandon. Is he there?
Right. I'm really going against, you know, guys like, oh, you got me, guys?
Yeah, you went away for a bit.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry, there's a couple dead spots. Casey's been really, really good in training camp. Going against Dalton Risner and Graham Glasgow every day. And we'll see how he fits into this Vic Fangio defense. It may not be ideal for his build necessarily with what Vic likes to do in terms of sliding him up and down the D-line, but Casey just makes plays, man. He doesn't know any other way to play football other than to play hard and get in the backfield.
The two guys in the backfield, how is this going to play out? I mean, they obviously added a guy like Melvin Gordon. Is this a 50-50 split? Or is somebody going to get the bulk of the carries? How are they going to use their two backs?
Well, I think, and it's hard to really gauge, Melvin Gordon aggravated his ribs in training camp and missed about a week, give or take, and then was kind of eased back in. He was working back steadily with the ones the last couple days. In the last practice we got to see Friday night, they went under the lights stadium just to get used to what that'll look like. He was out there, and it seemed about a 50-50 split. I would be nervous if there's anybody that has fantasy drafts. I've got two tonight and one more tomorrow, and I've already had a couple. I didn't take either of those backs, not because I don't think they'll be productive when they're on the field. It's because I'm not exactly sure how it's going to shake out. I don't think they are either. I don't know if Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio and Kirk Smotkin's running backs coach have sat down and really mapped it out. I think Philip Lindsay in the back of his mind, because he's told us now twice in the few weeks that we've talked to him since camp started, he doesn't need 20 touches to get going. He just needs a play to be blocked, well, one good play, and he'll go off. So I don't know if he's Jedi mind-tricking himself because he thinks that Gordon's going to get a little more of the work. I don't think it'll be Gordon 85%, Lindsay 15%. I would think that if it's split, it's closer to 60-40 or maybe, you know, 63-37, if my math is right on that. And then they may even mix in Royce Freeman, who was just in year three, just to be a change of pace a little bit, good in pass pro, okay in short yardage, not as good as Gordon. So I guess Gordon is who I would expect to see more snaps on the field and maybe a few more touches, but I don't think it's going to be a huge, huge margin. Of course, you know, we could talk on Tuesday, and I could be really wrong.
We're talking to Brandon Kristol. He reports for the Broncos for KOA out in Denver, Colorado. Of course, the Titans open the season out there next Monday. So, Brandon, I'm sure you've been talking about it all summer. Drew Lock, is he ready to take the next step forward? Showed some signs by the end of last year. They seem to be giving him the reins right now. How's he looked?
He's looked really good. Now, he looks like a second-year quarterback 20, and this is the highest-paid defense in football. So, obviously, we're talking about Casey. You got Von Miller, you got Bradley Chubb back. I don't know if Bradley Chubb's at 100% yet. Surprised if you see Jeremiah Tatu and Malik Reed in there for Bradley Chubb some next week. They've got two of the best safeties in football, with Justin Simmons, who was second team All-Pro, Kareem Jackson, obviously. And they know from all his years as a corner with the Texans is fitting really well at safety. A.J. Boye comes over from the Jags. He's obviously a solid player. Don't know if he's elite, but we'll find out, replacing Chris Harris. And they get Bryce Callahan back. So they've got a really good defense to go against Drew Lock every day. And Drew Lock's held his own. He's thrown the ball to Cortland Sutton plenty. Jerry Jeudy is a guy that would excite me if people are looking for a late flyer in their fantasy draft and you're debating between him or Henry Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb. There's a reason most people had him as the top receiver on their draft board. He catches everything thrown to him. He gets open against veteran corners easily and makes plays. But they've surrounded Drew Lock with all these weapons to make it easier for him. He also obviously has Noah Fant, the first rounder from a year ago, plus they added his favorite target, the tight end Albert O, who played at Missouri, who caught 17 touchdowns from Drew in 18 games together. Jake Butt's on the roster still. They trade for or signed Nick Manette. So they've got, you know, the two backs y'all mentioned, plus all these pass catchers to make his life easier. But I think he's got a chance. I'm not ready to put him in Canton, just like the Banjo said last year after he won one or two games. But he does stuff where you're like, okay, we just haven't seen that around here. Maybe since Jake Plummer was rolling right and just flipping the ball to, you know, whoever the closest guy was or even the farthest guy was, and the ball was getting there. Or maybe even Drew's boss, John Elway, when he, you know, was running to his right and just throwing the ball downfield like a flick of the wrist. I can see Patrick Mahomes do so much. And I'm not saying he has Patrick Mahomes' arm, but I'd imagine he's in your upper category of arm tiers or pretty close. And he's got a swag about him that it's warranted as long as they win. Otherwise, it just seems kind of silly. But this kid was the best high school basketball player and high school football player in Kansas City. So he's used to kind of walking into a room and thinking highly of himself. But his teammates love him across the board, regardless of demographics or anything else. So I think he's got a chance. And because I've been throwing all these fantasy things at you guys, he might be worth as your second quarterback at this point. Because you got to see just how does he adjust in year two with another offense. But he's had six offensive coordinators in 7 years going back to his last year of high school. So he's used to having to pick up a new playbook.
Brandon Kristol is with us talking Broncos, KOA, Colorado. So speaking of offensive coordinators, how have you seen him gel, Drew Lock gel with Pat Shurmur and what Pat Shurmur's trying to do on offense?
Well, I definitely see Pat Shurmur get frustrated from time to time, which makes me think that's maybe a good sign and a bad sign, right? That, you know, he doesn't have it all down. And so the fact that Shurmur's still getting mad about little things like Drew not running up in situational drill to stop the clock or whatever, saw a reaction to that here pretty recently. And I do think that Pat tried to make it easy on Drew by keeping as much of the terminology the same as he could. And that's the thing is, even though Rich Scangarello was running Kyle Shanahan's version of his dad and Gary Kubiak's version of the West Coast offense that they learned under Bill Walsh, well, Pat Shurmur is running his version of Andy Reid's version of that offense that he learned under Bill Walsh and Bill Walsh's disciples, I guess, more accurately. So a lot of it is still, it's football, right? There's only so many things you can call something. But a lot of it was common enough that Shurmur could keep the play call similar across the board, you know, when it made sense. So I think that's helped accelerate the learning curve for Drew. He's a really good student, and I think that's what surprised Vic Fangio and John Elway was, he hurt himself in that third preseason game on Monday night last year against the Niners and dislocated his thumb or whatever it was, did something to his thumb, was on the shelf for 10 weeks, and then really attacked not only his rehab, but the playbook, the virtual reality simulator where he'd go in, and run through practice every morning and every night before and after practice. And he and Brett Rippon, who's the practice squad QB, nephew of Mark Rippon, really good at Boise, they're two peas in a pod, and they just love studying and are the first ones in, and Drew's one of the last ones to leave. So I know you hear that cliche about quarterbacks all the time, but you never know how a 22-year-old kid who, grew up in a family with means, his dad owns a bunch of restaurants, he's always been the best guy in the room, like I mentioned, when he walks in, football or hoops, and he takes this gig seriously and wants to be the Broncos quarterback for a long time, and so we'll see if it actually works out. But if you told me I had to go bet on him, and gambling's legal in Colorado, so I would go to DraftKings and bet there, I would bet that he's going to be a good quarterback.
We got to know Mike Munchak, of course, over the years when he was here with the Titans, and now he's been in Denver as the offensive line coach for a couple of seasons. What kind of impact have you seen him make with this offensive line?
Well, he's not only one of the best to coach it, he's also one of the best ever played, as everybody knows, as a Hall of Famer, as a guard. And he gets praise whenever you talk to an O-lineman, whether it's Dalton Risner who talks to us, Garrett Bowles, who is certainly under scrutiny with all the holding penalties last year, the first rounder. They did not pick up his fifth-year option. But anybody you talk to on that O-line, Graham Glasgow came over after 4 years in Detroit. They can't say enough good things about Mike Munchak, and I think it's warranted, right? Most people will tell you that either he or Steve Scarnecchia, who coached the Pats all those years, are the two best O-line coaches in football. So the Broncos, it was just kind of dumb luck. Munchak was interviewed as a head coaching candidate. His contract was up in Pittsburgh, and his daughter and granddaughter live in Denver, like 10 minutes from the facility. So it wasn't that John Elway made this great sales pitch or Vic Fangio as he was putting his staff together. It's that just by virtue of where his daughter lived, he's spending at least a few years here teaching Garrett Bowles how to not hold and how to become a better left tackle. And Bowles has put on 10 pounds, and I'm not saying he's going to the Pro Bowl, but he played a lot better in the final five games. Some of that had to do with Drew being out there, I think, and running away rather than just sticking in the pocket, going out and making plays. So it's not on Bowles to hold a guy around the shoulders or twist him away and get flagged for 15 yards or 10 yards rather. But Munchak's, I don't know if this O-line ends up looking really good and they put up big numbers on offense, which is something they haven't done, obviously, since Peyton Manning was here, and really the year before they won the Super Bowl, midway through before he got hurt, was the last time this offense really put up numbers. If they start doing that and they're in the mid to high 20s and 30s, then Munchak, his credit needs to be, put right up next to Pat Shurmur's in terms of who has the most impact on what they do.
Last thing, you mentioned a lot of tight ends, but they drafted Noah Fant to obviously be a difference maker. What is realistic for him this season? I think he had 40 catches last year and 3 touchdowns. Is he going to be a bigger part of the offense? What are they expecting from Noah Fant?
Okay, so I'll give you this anecdote. It was just kind of dumb luck. I told you I've already had a couple fantasy drafts. So I was taping with Jake Butt yesterday because he's such a good story and a fan favorite, and everybody's pulling for him. We were taping for the Broncos Daily podcast that I put out every morning. And because it was a podcast, I go, hey Jake, I need to stop you for a second. I'm almost done with this fantasy draft. I haven't taken a tight end. Noah Fant there. I think Hopkinson was there, a couple other tight ends. I said, how much is Noah going to be a part of this offense? Because every time I look up, you're with the ones, Vanette's with the ones, Noah's out there, 85, the rookie out of Missouri. I was like, all you guys are out there. And also they have this kid, Andrew Beck, who's kind of a fullback tight end hybrid, 83, who's more of a fullback right now, but certainly will line up the tight end some. And he goes, oh, no, play no. He's a very big part of what we're going to do. He's like, you can't look at everything in practice. And to be fair, they had third-teamers running with the ones that wide out some just so they could catch a ball from Drew Lock and to give Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy a break every now and then. So I get that he's his teammate, but you look at rookie tight ends, and we looked back, going back to, I think, 1980, the average for rookie tight ends was 33 catches, 330-ish yards, and 3 touchdowns. So he beat 2 of those marks and tied in the touchdown category. Do I think he's going to be Travis Kelce or George Kittle just yet? No, but I do think that he will give them a dimension that makes it hard to double the guys on the outside too often because he's so fast running that 4.5 40, or even faster than that, I think it was 4.49, 4.48, that he catches the ball and they can really separate. We saw it a couple times last year against the Raiders and against the Browns and in Houston against the Texans. So I think Fant's going to be a nice safety net for Drew Lock, and he's caught everything thrown his way. So I think he'll take a nice jump. I'm not ready to, again, put him in the Pro Bowl or All-Pro yet because you just have to see it again. But there's no reason to think, because players do typically take such a big jump from year one to year two, that he's not right there taking one of those jumps.
It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out in 6 days from now. Brandon, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks. I always appreciate you having me.
Yep, enjoy the game. Brandon Kristol, Broncos insider for KOA, covers the team for them, and it'll be the Broncos and the Titans to start off the season. There's a double dip on Monday night, and the Titans in Denver will be the one in the nightcap. We'll come back. More on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.